Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. And we have a goodie for you today. It's been a busy day around the planet. We've had all kinds of things going on. And we want to bring you some conversation, We want to bring you some new and exciting information around what's going on, and we're also going to bring you some information about the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And before I do that, let me bring on my host, my co-host from Chi-Town, Miss Vivacious Henrietta Byrd, coming to you live from Chi-Town, and I'm coming in from New York City, Jamaica, Queens. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Thank you, Glenn.
How are you tonight?
I'm relaxed.
You're relaxed? I'm trying to get there, baby.
Okay. Relaxed. Taking it.
I ain't there at this moment yet, but I'm looking to get there.
Right.
Now that I've set sights in my abode.
Right.
And just been busy, just had a lot of stuff. We had the debates last night, and then we had a big day, turnout to vote at Kings Park. Which is just outside of my district, but the Starbucks in my district sponsored it, so I was there at the event. So I was giving out brochures and talking about the bid and doing all that good stuff. So I've been on my feet all day long, and then I had to jump in the office and get some paperwork done. So I've been dealing. And then yesterday we had an oldies but goodies show dance in the middle of the day, so I was a co-sponsor for that as well. So I hooked up and got some the all the paper goods and the drinks and the pot, you know, cakes for dessert. So I had to deliver all that. So I was having my little shopping cart, wheeling it around town. So I've been busy. I've been busy, my girl. So anyway, yeah. Let's start out with the declaration, and then we can get back on track in terms of, you know, what the conversation is and where the International Black Summit is. And I'm just so thankful for that conversation. I'll share a little bit about that in a moment. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, and unity and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today is September 27, 2016. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. a moment of silence for all the ancestors, the recently passed ancestors, and the ones that have been around that are watching over us. Moment of silence, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So
it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yes, my dear.
Yeah. So the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision. Their vision for the Black community. Their vision. The purpose of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network is to continue the conversation of the annual summit event throughout the year. And so that, bless you, and that makes the purpose almost like a dual purpose, like ours, and connected to the purpose of the International Black Summit. So what we provide on this talk show is an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision through the continuing of the conversation of the International Black Summit. The AFC 2016, which was held in Ferguson, Missouri, the statement, the declaration that came out of that event was, or is, as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe. I repeat it. As I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? That came from the work that was done in Ferguson, Missouri this year. And I received a text message from one of our facilitators today who was saying what a great we did in Ferguson, that it created so many things in their life. And you know, it's real interesting, Glenn, because this was one of the most interesting annual summit events ever. Just, I mean, so interesting. It was so unique in so many ways. And as every summit is, you know, our listeners probably say that every year, right? But you have to experience the beauty, I guess, of the question for the year. Sometimes we'll refer to it as a declaration for the year. We'll say it's a question, an inquiry, you know, or it's both a question and an inquiry. We'll refer to it in many different ways, but it's something that you will hear us talk about until next year when we are in Guyana and we have a different one. So we engage in this all year round. We'll ask ourselves, you know, like I may call Glenn and say, Glenn, have you embraced your rage and your fear? Like, have you embraced it, or how's it going? You know, because it's, most of us are embracing it now that we are aware of it, you know, and the different levels of it that were uncovered in Ferguson. And you know, as you hear us say, every place we go provides an education for us. This isn't the kind of summit where we take something. You know, this is the kind of summit every year where something is generated out of the people who attend. And, you know, people would say, well, of course, you would talk about rage and fear in Ferguson. And as I have to say to people, interestingly enough, the conversation about rage was introduced by someone from Chicago. And it had nothing to do with murders when it was introduced. It had to do with something that this individual realized they had been carrying since they were 7 years old. And so, you know, it's a different, the summit is not what you think. It's a conversation, and it's a conversation that's given by life to people of Black African descent. And that conversation finds its existence in the declaration that you just heard Glenn generate. And so as we move into this 2016-2017 season, you will hear us discuss more and more embracing different aspects of ourselves, including rage and including fear. And there are many, many other aspects of ourselves. The people who make up the summit body are magnificent people. And they are magnificent people every day, not just August, you know, not just that first weekend in August, but they're magnificent. We are magnificent people all of the time. We are open and receptive and are and welcome you to call into the show. Those who are listening via the internet, our number is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. And talk to us about whatever is on your heart, whatever's on your mind, however your day was. You always hear Glenn and I talk about our day. And that's because we're clearing ourselves. And sometimes when we don't clear ourselves, we can't be present to the talk show, to what's here for the talk show. So we'll clear ourselves. You'll hear us talk about the weather. You'll hear us talk about, you know, like what's going on, like you heard Glenn talk about his day. And so now he's clear. So he can hear what life is saying to him. Clearing is one of our distinctions. And grounding is something that we do also. And we do that when we recite or generate the Declaration of the International Black Summit. So that's another way in which we ground ourselves. And so we can be open to we can be open to you and what it is for you. And for those of you who listen via the archive, because I noticed that five people listened to the show yesterday. Today is Tuesday, so Monday or Tuesday, listen to the show. Call back and talk to us live. You know, and let us know what's on your mind and what's on your heart. And let's distinguish some of the distinctions of the International Black Summit, like self-generation and noticing and grounding, you know, and clearing. Those are some of our distinctions.
I just want to say hello to the people in Ferguson and the St. Louis area as well. I want to make sure that everyone knows that our leadership body, facilitator body, leadership body weekend is in October. The weekend of the 21st will be in Chicago. And, you know, all are welcome. I also want to let everybody know that the annual summit event 2017 is in Guyana, South America. And I want people to start to look for your tickets. There's a really great time to buy a ticket, and it's in the off season. I was told by our events, one of our events persons, that probably the best time to buy your ticket is between January and April. And every once in a while, you know, how these deals pop up. So start paying attention to the airfares so that you can get your ticket at a good price that's comfortable for you. And join us in Guyana, South America, the first weekend in August. And be a part of this great conversation. Be a part of this wonderful group of people who stay engaged in a listening for the transformation of the universe. I want to give you the dates. The specific dates for next year are August 3rd through 6th. 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And August 3rd is the prerequisite, and 4th, 5th, and 6th, the actual summit event. So the prerequisite is a course that is required for people who have never done the summit before. So prepare, you know, to be there on the 2nd so that you can start fresh first thing in the morning with your prerequisite. Also, Glenn, I was informed that there is a celebration in Guyana, the 30th and the 31st of July. For those of you who would like to participate in that celebration, then, you know, plan to come in a week ahead of time. So, which is probably what most of the facilitator bodies does anyway. So there's a celebration on July 30th and 31st, and then the summit starts August 3rd with the prerequisite, and the actual weekend begins Friday morning, August 4th through August 6th. Back to you, Glenn.
Wow, that's awesome. So the other thing I want to point to, and I hope you captured all of what Henrietta was talking to, because the summit is really designed for you. I get to participate in it. I get to participate in your conversation and what you're up to as a facilitator, alongside as well as I participate in my conversation. And so there's an opportunity to contribute back and forth to each other's vision and purpose inside of the context created by the International Black Summit. And the distinctions that Henrietta is pointing to are the tools that allow us to stay on track, stay on purpose, stay committed, and fighting for the cause. So that's all part of the mix. This is a conversation that you want to get to for yourself and for your family and for your community and the people around you in your lives, because they're going to benefit from this conversation along with you. So it's really a community conversation that is based and starts directly with you personally. So just want to include that in all that we are saying, all that we're inviting you to, and all that we be inside of that conversation. So with that, just want to keep underlining that we are here for you. This is your conversation. We get to facilitate it and participate with it and support it. But it's all our conversations together. Let's talk a little bit about some politics and the debate that took place last night, Henrietta. What did you get a chance to see that? What was your impression of it?
I did. I watched the entire debate, and just a minute before we go there, I just wanted to mention voter registration. And please make sure you're registered. Make sure that you are registered and that you vote. And that's it, really. Just make sure you're registered. If you've moved, make sure you put in your change of address so that voting is convenient for you. You know, just make sure that you are registered so that you can vote. Okay, Glenn. I watched it from beginning to end. I watched it from beginning to end, and
what did you think?
I am
like who won? You know, because you know it's amazing how the media hypes the thing up, first of all, and then second of all, it's about winning and losing.
Right.
And then it's about who got the point across, who didn't, who looked weak, who looked strong, who, you know, all of this assessment about it. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at the debates, the whole opportunity is to gain areas of people who were undecided. Or at least hadn't decided on you. And so it's interesting. I don't know that any new people got picked up. I'd like to think that Hillary presented herself more presidential than the Donald. But go ahead, let me hear from you. So what do you have to say about it?
Well, the first thing for me was I had to release my judgment because I had a lot of judgment going in to the debate. And I wanted to have a listening so that I could possibly expand my knowledge of different things, right? And so I listened very intently, and I wanted to gain some knowledge about some things from both people. And I think so many people wanted to gain knowledge. I'm not on the fence about who I'm voting for, so I don't fit into that category. But I still want to gain some knowledge about certain things, and I love education and I love learning. But when there were times where I felt insulted by some of the things that were said, they just appeared. They appeared to be like, well, I'll just entertain you. I don't have anything to share, so I'll just you know, I'll just make this, I'll just entertain you. And that was, I was kind of disappointed there, you know. With that, I thought Hillary was really good. I really thought that she was good, and I learned a lot from her. You know, I learned a lot about stamina. And, you know, when she, you know, when she responded to the statement about her not having stamina, and her response was a list of the things that she had done that probably nobody else had done, for the hours and the, you know, the different set of people that she had to sit before to and be questioned by about all of the different things that have come up. And, you know, and her response was, after you've done that, after you visited 120 countries and negotiated this, and, you know, and she went through that whole list, she said, then you talk to me about stamina. And it was really, I really got something from that, because it made me present to my life and the things that I've gone through in the last 12 months. And the stamina, the toughness of skin, that, you know, you incur when you go through things. And so that was really good for me. I learned a lot about the different, they were in 15-minute segments. And the different categories were interesting, and they held my attention. When Trump mentioned Chicago, it was interesting. You know, it was so, I being from Chicago, it affected me a particular way, and it was like, it's just like he mentioned it, but that was all. Like, he mentioned it just haphazardly. It felt like, that's kind of how it felt to me. Like, I'm going to say this because this is what everybody, you know, everybody's heard about this, so I'll just mention it. But I didn't get that there was a real concern. Like, in his speaking, I didn't get that there was really a concern there. Let me see. Is there anything else just right off the top that that I see about it? I was watching it with a friend, and there was one time where I just stood up and I just said, I don't think I would have agreed to do this, you know. To which they said, they have to do it, Henrietta, they have to do it. And I'm like, I don't think I would have even bothered, you know. But so it was, you know, I was interested, I was educated, I feel like Hillary is very well prepared. I don't get that Donald is. I really get that she is very well prepared, and because she's been doing it for however long she's been doing it. So that's about it. What about you, Glenn?
Well, these debates and this whole campaign season has taught me, or reminded me, I should say, is really how little the presidential election affects my local area.
Your local what?
My local area. My community of Jamaica, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important because the presidential candidate, the president, has an overarching kind of umbrella over some ideas or some things on a national level. But really, it's the state and city legislators and elected officials that actually control my quality of life. So even though they're talking about international things, which certainly affect New York and other cities as well, but especially New York, given the financial capital and so on and so forth, it also has me to be very awake as a black man in America, looking to do community development and community empowerment, how important it is for us to start and establish our own businesses in our own communities. You know, a lot of the issues that we have around unemployment, crime, homelessness, you name it, those three or four factors would be very different if we had a booming economy in our inner cities. Now, there's a lot of talk. You know, I think President Obama did a lot of things to support that, to encourage that. And, of course, the question then begins, well, between the next two candidates, which one of them would continue or help to boost the inner cities? I didn't hear anything from the wizard of business, who's failed more than he's won. But I also am listening for Hillary to flesh out some of her game plan, you know, and to hear what she wants to do, or is planning to do around jobs, and obviously this whole. And see, the thing that we've got to, you know, for me, I've got to keep reminding myself is that this whole conversation with police is related to the economics of our communities, of our inner cities. Because when you don't have jobs, what you're going to have is crime. Because people got to make a living. People got to eat. So if you can't find a job, you're going to do something illicit. And then the police come down on you. You're just trying to eat. They got to do their job. They're coming into an environment that's tense because it's us or them, because you got to eat, and you're in between me and eating, and you just happen to be in blue. So a lot of those tensions can be alleviated if we had a more centralized economic flow, you know, the kind of stuff. And it's interesting because we're talking about the militant Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, when they talked about containing the economics within ourselves, you know, just buying black, just buying, you know, or Garvey, you know, Garveyite was talking about taking it back to Africa, going back to Africa. And he had those ships that were sending people back to Africa. And he talked about a global economy based on the resources of Africa, which has never come to fruition because Africa's been the fleecing of Africa. You know, all of the precious gems, jewels, all the things that come out of Africa that are worth something, the African people aren't benefiting. They're being robbed by everybody else who's coming in there and taking it. So So it's interesting to see and hear and listen inside of the context of economic development, what are the real things that are going to be put in place to support that? Because the bottom line is small businesses are the true engine for economic development. And unless you're working on those engines, with those engines, not a whole lot's going to happen. And it's for me, it's kind of funny when I hear Donald Trump talk about trickle down economics, which has never worked, still ain't worked, and it's part of the reason why all those jobs got moved overseas in the first place. So, from an economic standpoint, bringing that back make it worse, not better. So, it's just interesting that people hear what they want to hear, and they also understand what they want to understand as well. Something very basic that I'm so thankful for, that the business school, the business college that I graduated from, I was able to take a couple economic courses. And understanding basic economics, you understand that what he's talking about doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and not everybody understands it. So it sounds good, we're going to bring the jobs back and I'm going to create the jobs and I'm going to do this and that. And I'm going to change the trade. But you're trying to undo 30 years of a trend. You're not going to do it in 4 years. You're not going to do it in 8 years. You're not going to do it in 10 years. Now, you can make things better slowly, but you have to have a consistent policy throughout that 10, 20-year period to even get back to where you once were. I found an interesting fact in this campaign that I didn't know, that after World War II, we were 50% of the world economy. You hear me?
Uh-huh.
50% of the world economy. So we will never to that. And at that point in time, that's when we were doing most of the manufacturing. We were building, we weren't consuming. We were manufacturing and selling to the rest of the world. One of the things about World War II is that we went from 30-something in terms of manufacturing to number one in the years of World War II. Because we weren't that when World War II started, but we were able to ramp it up, and that's when the men went away and the women, get this, the women ran and did the manufacturing jobs to produce the weaponry that we needed for World War II. And so we were able to out-strategize and mass produce, which is why we were able to win, support the Allies in winning. Because the truth is, this is a funny thing. The truth is that the Germans actually had better engineered tanks, missiles, and planes. But we hit them strategically so they couldn't build it, so they couldn't manufacture it. Yet we were manufacturing full bore. And that's the only reason why we won the war. So it's interesting to see how all of this kind of ties into itself and this whole notion of making America great again is interesting, but we can't keep doing what we've been doing and expect. What's that? The conversation of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result?
Yeah, that's it.
But it's not enough for you or I to know about it. We as a country have to do enough work and research to understand really what's being said. I think it was a critical thing that occurred in England when they voted to come out the European Union, the EU. And it was a devastating mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That again, because not everybody understood basic economics. But they were upset about the jobs being lost and about the immigration policies. And again, you know, it's interesting, and it kind of reflects our country. The white male is now worrying about their jobs, and they're realizing that they're now becoming, soon to become the minority. They're not, unless they're educated, they can't compete. And the only way that they were able to compete was because of the union, which is another thing that, I knew this before this particular campaign, but the unions in this country were created so that white males had jobs after slavery was abolished. And when you look at it, you know, I still look at the construction union and the trucking unions. All of those are not skilled labor. You know, you don't need a degree for that stuff. But that's who controls it, are, you know, white, you know, powerful white unions. And the thing that gets me, you go to a black city, like Atlanta, for example, and who rules the construction unions? You know, still the white union leaders. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. So, I mean, all that being said and done, it's interesting to see how things are going to get played out, what's going to get played out, and how it affects us as a community. So it's interesting to listen. It's important to vote. Just because the president doesn't have as much impact in your local area doesn't mean that you don't need a good president, because you do. Because the president is the one, that, proud of President Obama, because he's been able to renew people's faith in the leadership of America. Because prior to him, let's face it, Baby Bush wasn't running the country.
Mm-hmm.
The vice president was. Cheney was running the country. Baby Bush was just a figurehead. He was just signing off. Cheney was running the country and making things happen behind the scenes. And that's what they tried to do with Romney. And quite frankly, I think that's what they would have done with if Trump gets in. Because what he said was he'd have his vice president running the country and he'd be out doing his thing, whatever that is.
Okay.
He'd be having shots with Putin, and, you know, building a relationship, I guess, you know, supporting his bromance. But it's you know, it's interesting times that we're in, and we've got to make sure that we don't get sucked into the vortex of public opinion, of the sensationalism, and quite frankly, follow the media, because the media has embraced Donald Trump not for his presidential brilliance, but for his reality TV ability to raise eyebrows, to say outrageous things, and to say whatever he wants to that comes across his mind, whether it's true, whether he's got facts, whether he's got anything to back it up or not. It almost doesn't matter. So it's real interesting to listen to him and to watch and to hear, and if you listen to the media, to hear that this race is close. Now, I don't know that it is, but I certainly don't know that it isn't. And I'm not willing to not go out and vote. So I encourage all your listeners out there to get out and make sure that your vote counts and you vote for the right person. That's going to take us to the next plateau, because you know, I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for, but it's pretty darn clear to me.
One of the conversations there. We need someone who can tell a certain group of people to sit down and shut up, because I know what's going on. Wait, I know what's really going on, and there's only one person who could actually do that, right?
We got Jerry on the line. Jerry, you want to say two things before we we got about 7 minutes, so jump in, Jerry, when you can. Your mic is open. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay,
finish up what you're saying.
No, I'm good. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, my sister. Hi, my brother. All I can say this much. Like, I'm echoing what you said, my brother, my sister. It's loud and clear.
Okay.
Do you want to go forward for America, the better things, or you want to go backwards? That's what I get, because I see the debate yesterday, and I'm telling you, I believe Hillary's getting started. I think there's some missing points that she could have, but you could tell who the one looked presidential was not, like Trump. When he came there on the debate, as you know, you got to be likable. He don't look likable. He look like he's a devil. He got horns and stuff like that. Disrespecting the narrator and stuff. Never seen that before.
Yeah, I didn't care for that either. Yeah,
I kind of nine times he disrespected him, and I heard that they're gonna take him off and put somebody like it's gonna do better. And I think that for me is that this election is much more privileged. I said for us as a people that. I'm not saying to put all the marbles in one thing, in one basket. I'm just saying wait out the options for the future. Don't wait out your options for the moment. And I think that what we need to do that, I'm glad that we talk about it right now. I know it's a few minutes we going off and everything, but I think it should be added discussions every day. I mean, not every day, but often. I think people we really need to really engage. Talk about health care, talking about housing, trades, you know, food or merchandise coming in our community. I feel that's a missing component in our community that we need to talk about. Had maybe major players and racial equality that should be tops, you know, what, you know, happened, because let's be honest, Hillary asked the questions of that I was really looking for the issue. Only Trump was saying law and order, law and order, law and order. And I remember law and order when we was going through that like 50, 60 years ago. I remember law and order to us as a people. They consider us second-class citizens. We came a long way, but we still got a long way to go. And that resonated with me last night, that you still got some people in America that think the same way as Trump does. And like I said, I'm not trying to tell people who to vote for, but I know what I seen last night. And sometimes I want to be right on history. I don't want to be wrong on history. I want to be right. I'm 50 years old. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to, like, set people back, you know. And all I'm just saying, us as a people, let's educate ourselves. I mean, let's educate each other. Let's engage of each other and understand that our history depends on election. It's sad to say that, but that's when it comes down to it. Let's weigh our options smartly and intelligently and maturely, and to understand it's not about us. It's about generations following us. And that's all I could say.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, brother.
Yeah, that's
very, right.
Yeah,
that.
That's it,
Jim. It's scary to think like that, but it's true. That election could, you know, and it's so funny. I was talking to a brother about it, and it's crazy. He's like, man, you know, I said, you need to think that. Seriously. No, I forgot to tell you, another brother got shot in the Midwest.
What, today or yesterday?
Huh?
Yesterday or today?
I mean
yesterday. Yeah, that's what I thought. I heard that.
And so it reminds me, Declaration of International Black Summit, the latter part.
Uh-huh.
It really comes timing. And so all I'm just saying, this election, us as Africans in this country, we got to send a voice throughout the United States that we hear. We want better schools. We want better food. We want better things for us as a people so we can build for future generations in our community and around the world. Matter of fact, worldly. I say worldly now. So that's what I'm focused on right now. I'm thinking about worldly for our people. I'm complete.
Interesting, Jerry. Very interesting, as always. And thanks. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, Glenn, it's time for you to get some time for you to get your rest.
Yes, King.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Glenn. Let's share.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that can be our closing. Is that you share? Acknowledge yourself. Share with our listeners about your.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, you're speaking to one of the kings of queens. I was nominated
okay.
for I was one of the honorees at the 2016. King of Queens, which is social service, community service, and leadership. And I'm very thankful that I was nominated and received the award. If you check out my Facebook, I have a little listing there with a little statuette. And
yeah.
I even got a chance to put on the crown and the little red royal robe as an acknowledgement of being one of the kings or queens. So it was a very nice night. There were about 35, 40 of us there, selected all walks of life throughout Queens, and took a lot of pictures. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of more I've got a couple of interviews coming out of it as well. And, you know, just a night to be honored and to be thankful and recognized for the service that I provide. And so with that, I just was a very humbling experience. There's another bunch of great guys, a couple that I knew and a couple that I had met while I was there. So it was just a great networking opportunity, and it was a great opportunity to fellowship and to expand my sphere of influence. And and see the work of the summit and the work of Landmark in full bloom. So it was a real opportunity for me to do that and to continue to do that throughout the year. So I'll embellish that conversation and pat myself on the back for being a king, being acknowledged to be a king, have some fun with it as well.
That's so wonderful. I'm just so proud of what you're doing. And it's interesting, you are like just the perfect example of the law of giving and receiving, you know. And that law says, as you give, you will receive. And you have given for so many years. And now it's harvest time, you know. And it's such a joy to watch you receive in the areas that you love, you know. Just to me, just so wonderful to watch and not to really be surprised about it, but really it just makes my heart happy to watch someone receive their just due. You know, just you've been giving and giving, and Jerry will attest. You know, you've heard Jerry attest to Glenn's giving and sharing over the years. And it's just a wonderful thing to watch. And I'm looking forward to seeing even greater things. So congratulations, Glenn, the king of
queens.
Thank
you. All right.
So that's our show for tonight. We've had a wonderful, wonderful conversation with Glenn and Jerry. And we've talked about a lot of things. We talked about our 2016-2017 statement. As I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? I can distinguish that inside of the acknowledgement for Glenn as he embraced an aspect of himself, the possibility for transforming his community was manifested, or is being manifested. And so, you know, let's talk about that some more, like how that really looks when you start to embrace aspects of yourself that you've never embraced before. Let's talk about that next week, Glenn. We talked about the debate, and we talked about our expectations and voting, making sure you're registered to vote. And we've talked about some of the distinctions and the fact that we're going to Guyana next year. And invite listeners to listen to this show, because it is archived, so you can listen to it whenever you choose. You can go to blacksummit.org and click on Talk Show, and you will get this one first, and then any of the other ones you can click on also. that we've had any of our previous shows. So we thank you so much for being with us tonight. And we'll see you next week.
Definitely.
All right. Peace and blessings to all of you. Safe travels. Stay focused. Use your vision to forward your action and your commitments. Peace out.
Peace.
Good night.
Night.